Picture this. You're at the departure end of a grass strip in rural Georgia. August. The surface is mowed but uneven, a little dry and lumpy near the edges. You can feel the main gear settle slightly when you stop. Run-up is done. Traffic is clear. And you realize, sitting there with the throttle in your hand, that you're not entirely sure what soft field technique actually looks like in the real world. Not in a textbook description. Not on a stabilized check ride with pavement underneath you. Here, right now, on this actual strip of Georgia grass. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and you're listening to Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about soft field operations, both takeoff and landing. Not because the subject is exotic, but because it's one of those areas where students learn it just well enough to pass the check ride and then run into the real version and discover the gaps. Before we get into the technique, a quick word from AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument commercial, the works. These are the milestones that actually mean something, and a coin is a real way to mark them. Find them at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through soft field operations from the ground up, because the philosophy behind the technique matters as much as the steps themselves. First, let's establish why this is different from a normal takeoff. On a hard runway, you roll, you build speed, you rotate, you climb. The surface supports your weight throughout the entire ground roll. Your nose wheel handles the load. Nothing dramatic. On a soft surface, the physics work against you in a specific way. Grass, mud, gravel, snow, wet turf, all of these create more rolling resistance than pavement. That extra resistance slows your acceleration. And if the surface is soft enough, your wheels don't just roll on top. They sink in, a nose wheel buried in soft ground, while you're still at speed is how you flip an airplane. End of flight? End of airplane. Possibly end of a few other things you'd prefer to keep. The soft field technique was designed to solve exactly that problem. Get weight off the nose wheel as fast as possible, get airborne earlier than you normally would, then use ground effect to accelerate to a safe climb speed before you actually climb. That's the philosophy. Every piece of the technique flows from that. Now, let's talk about what it actually looks like, starting from the moment you begin taxiing to the runway. One thing the Airman Certification Standards specifically addresses for soft field operations is your ground handling, and students overlook this because they're mentally already on the takeoff roll, but how you approach the runway matters here. On a hard surface, stopping is fine. You taxi to the hold short, wait for traffic, pull onto the runway, go on a soft surface, stopping is your enemy. Every time those wheels stop moving, you're giving the soft ground a chance to grab them. Stop for too long on a wet grass strip and you're sinking in. Now you need significantly more power just to get rolling again, and in a worst-case scenario, you're not rolling at all, you're stuck. So the technique starts before the power comes in. You taxi with intention. If you can do your run-up on firmer ground nearby, you do that. When you turn onto the soft surface, you keep rolling. You don't stop at the hold short line unless traffic absolutely requires it. You do a rolling entry onto the runway, maintain that momentum, and bring the power up as you come around onto the center line. And here's a key detail people often miss. While you're rolling on that soft surface, you want full back pressure on the yoke or stick. All the way back, you're loading up the elevator to transfer weight off the nose wheel and onto the main gear as quickly as possible. In some airplanes, particularly high-wing tricycle gear trainers like the Cessna 172, you can actually get the nose wheel to lift off the ground before the mains ever leave the surface. That's the goal. The nose wheel riding in the air, the mains rolling, the airplane accelerating with the nose up, and the front gear clear of whatever soft stuff is underneath you. Now here's where most students stumble, and I want you to pay close attention to this part. With proper back pressure, the airplane is going to want to fly before it reaches normal rotation speed. Before VR, it's going to lift off early. That's not a problem. That's actually the technique working correctly. Let it fly. But what you do immediately after liftoff is where the check ride failures happen. When the airplane gets airborne on a soft field takeoff, the instinct is to climb. You're flying, it feels good, the ground is behind you and everything in your training says climb. So the nose comes up, the airplane starts rising, and you fly right out of ground effect before you've built up a safe climb speed. Let me explain ground effect, because the physics matter here. Ground effect is a real aerodynamic phenomenon that happens when you're flying very close to the surface, generally within about half a wingspan of the ground. In that zone, the wing generates lift more efficiently. The downwash off the trailing edge is compressed against the ground, which reduces induced drag and allows the wing to produce more lift at a given airspeed. Your airplane can actually fly in ground effect at speeds that would not sustain level flight out of ground effect. So when you lift off early on a soft field takeoff, you're flying on borrowed aerodynamics. Ground effect is carrying you. If you climb out of that zone before you have the airspeed to sustain flight independently, the wing stops receiving that benefit, and you've got a problem. You need to push the nose down aggressively to get back into ground effect, or you're going to lose altitude in a hurry. Neither is comfortable, and both are avoidable. The correct procedure is to get airborne and then deliberately level off in ground effect. Hold it there. Let the airspeed build. You're intentionally flying just a few feet above the runway surface, nose slightly down from where it was at liftoff, accelerating toward VX or VY. When you have that speed established, that's when you start your climb.
I want to say that plainly because it runs counter to instinct. After liftoff on a soft field takeoff, you may need to lower the nose and fly level just a few feet off the runway, on purpose, deliberately staying close to the surface to use ground effect while you build speed. It feels strange the first time. It looks strange from outside the airplane, but it is correct. And it is what the Airman Certification Standards task actually requires. The Airman Certification Standards are clear. You should remain in ground effect while accelerating to VX or VY before attempting to climb. If you climb out of ground effect before reaching that speed, that's a task failure. Not because the examiner is being rigid, but because that specific error is exactly the one that kills people on real soft field departures when things go wrong. Let's go through the most common mistakes, because naming them clearly is the fastest way to fix them. Stopping on the soft surface is the first one. Don't stop unless you absolutely have to for traffic. Keep rolling. Releasing back pressure during the takeoff roll is the second. Some students apply it at first, then relax as they focus on tracking the center line. Keep full back pressure through the entire ground roll until the airplane is airborne. Climbing out of ground effect before VX or VY is the third. We just talked about this. Level off, accelerate, then climb. The fourth mistake is incorrect flap configuration. Most training aircraft use some flaps for soft field departure. Check your aircraft's pilot operating handbook. For a Cessna 172, that's typically 10 degrees. Forgetting flaps on a soft field departure costs you performance you need on a surface that's already costing you performance. The fifth mistake is letting the nose wheel drop back onto the surface after liftoff. You get airborne, back pressure high, and then something distracts you, and the nose comes down, and the nose wheel is back on the ground. On a soft surface at speed, that nose wheel can dig in violently. Keep the back pressure in. Now let's talk about the other end of the operation, because soft field landing has its own challenges and its own failure modes. The soft field landing has two goals that sit in mild tension with each other. First, you want to touch down at the lowest possible speed to minimize the energy you're bringing onto the surface. Second, you want to keep weight off the nose wheel for as long as possible after touchdown, because a nose wheel digging into soft ground is still your primary threat once you're on the surface. The approach itself looks fairly normal. Stabilized final, consistent airspeed, controlled descent rate. Where it diverges from a standard landing is in the roundout, and especially in the attitude you hold after the mains touch. In the flare, you're going to carry the energy smoothly all the way down. You're not looking for a greaser, you're looking for a controlled, continuous flare that brings you down slow. When the mains contact the surface, they should touch first. The nose should still be up, high, higher than you might think looks right from inside the airplane. After the mains touch, your job is to keep the nose wheel off the surface for as long as possible. You maintain back pressure. You hold that nose high attitude. On a firm runway, you can let the nose wheel down, apply brakes, and exit in a fairly routine way. On a soft surface, the nose wheel coming down drives it into the ground, increases rolling resistance dramatically, and in extreme cases can stop the airplane so abruptly you go nose over. What you want to do is stay on the mains, let the airplane decelerate on its own using aerodynamic drag, and allow the nose wheel to settle only when the elevator no longer has the authority to hold it up. At that point, you're slow enough that the nose wheel isn't going to do much damage. This is also why you avoid aggressive braking on a soft surface. Braking on soft ground can cause the main wheels to dig in too. Let the surface slow you down. Trust the drag. Hold the nose up.
Here's something I wish someone had told me clearly when I was first learning this maneuver. The soft field landing feels slower and more deliberate than a standard landing. Students who are used to landing and immediately lowering the nose will fight that instinct the whole time. The brain says you're done, you're on the ground, lower the nose, exit the runway. The soft field technique says hold on, not yet. The examiner is looking for that extended nose-high attitude after touchdown. They want to see that you understand why you're doing it, not that you're going through motions because you memorized a sequence. Understanding shows, memorization also shows, and they're different. Common mistakes on the soft field landing include letting the nose wheel down too soon, braking aggressively, flaring too high and dropping in with excess energy, and not using full flaps when the aircraft and conditions call for it. Full flaps mean lower approach speed, and lower approach speed means less energy at touchdown, which is exactly what you want on a soft surface. Here's what the Airman Certification Standards expects you to demonstrate on the practical test. For the soft field takeoff, proper control position throughout, remaining in ground effect while accelerating to VX or VI, and maintaining that climb speed plus or minus 10 knots. For the soft field landing, proper glide path, mains first contact, directional control maintained, nose wheel kept off the surface for as long as practical, and minimum braking. The touchdown point tolerance is plus or minus 100 feet from your intended spot. The way to build actual proficiency, not just checkride proficiency, is to practice on a hard runway first. There's no rule that says soft field technique only happens on grass. Practice the soft field takeoff on pavement, rotate early, level off a few feet above the runway. Hold it there, feel the ground effect, accelerate to VI, then climb. Do it until it feels deliberate instead of strange. Practice the soft field landing on pavement and hold the nose wheel off the surface until it comes down on its own. Pavement gives you visual feedback and a lower stakes environment. You can see where the nose wheel is. You can feel the ground effect clearly. You can practice the held back pressure landing attitude without worrying about what the surface is doing to your tires. When you transition to real grass or gravel, the muscle memory is already there. And if you have not yet landed on a real soft surface before your check ride, try to arrange it. Even one landing on a grass strip will teach you more than any ground session can. The way the airplane settles differently. The way the ground resists your roll in a way pavement doesn't. The ACS is a floor, not a ceiling. Being a capable pilot means flying these maneuvers in the real environment, not just demonstrating them where the surface plays fair. The Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook covers soft field operations thoroughly in Chapter 9. Your Pilot Operating Handbook covers the specific flap settings and speeds for your aircraft. Both are worth reading before you brief this with your instructor. I'm Pattern on Traffic, Pattern on Radio Hangar. Find us at radiohangar.com. See you next time.